The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me. My show for the modern era. We usually come up with something to say at the beginning. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your babyest brother, Griffin McElroy. Did you just tell everybody what we won't do?
My thing for the beginning this week was a little bit of my brother, me trivia.
Okay.
In that we normally come up with something to do at the beginning.
Fun facts. Here's the thing we're not doing this week. Do you know why? Because we stayed up till like 2 a.m. watching the Pokemon Live musical.
That is true, Griffin.
Okay, we're all sitting here recording. I'm going to paint a picture for everybody who can't see us right now. Justin's pointing furiously at Travis and the board. Just pointed to something up. Are we good?
Those levels look much better to me.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you're just tuning in, this is your second episode ever, and you listen to the Can't Lies episode, we curse a lot. Ooh, fuck, it feels so good to be back in the fucking saddle.
We had hundreds of people. We had 600 of people who traveled from hundreds of miles away to see our show. Our wives are literally in the goddamn next room, and they cannot be bothered. They have a free...
Wait, what do you want them to do? Stand in the doorway and just watch us lovingly bullshit at each other?
I want them to pull up a couple of chairs, get some nog, and make it a real festive show. A personal intimate live... You know what? I could eBay that. A personal intimate live show. Just you and your favorite brothers doing their comedy show. So intimate.
I asked my wife to do a special Christmas hour special with us, and you know what she did? She gave me a middle finger and she made this noise.
So I'm sure that our wives will be stopping in throughout the show to say hi. Kind of a family.
Maybe sing some songs.
Maybe you'll hear them laughing in the background. They're great jokes.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe that also might not happen. If you came to our live show, thank you very much for coming to Huntington. We hope you have fun. We hope we can do that again next year.
Maybe in a more acoustically treated building or room.
A less century-old building than that building was. But the audio for the recording was good.
Yeah, it was good.
But apparently some folks listening had some troubles hearing. If that was you, we are sorry, but we hope...
I'm not sorry.
The magic of being there made up for it.
I heard a lot of people say, there's an echo, guess what? You just got fucking two shows.
That's two bonus shows.
Two shows in one.
And here's a little tidbit from us to you. There was echo on stage. So try doing that at all. It is an
idea. But it was great.
It was a lot of fun. Next year we want to have just a festival. Candle Nights Festival, get every podcast in the world to come to Huntington.
And sing a song on stage.
I just want to be like Stephen Colbert for like a second. Mm-hmm. He can get like Bill de Blasio and like...
Yeah.
Like,
That was the best thing that he had was Bill de Blasio.
I cannot think of a single person that is... George Lucas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We could get Gio.
You think we could get Lucas?
What's he doing?
He's not doing anything.
Making that Fern Gully movie.
We'll talk about this off mic.
We'll
get Lucas.
Get back to
you. Lucas, if you're out there, get at me. When I'm dining out specifically at restaurants with an Asian flair, I tend to prefer my food rather spicy. While I love the burn, spicy food usually makes my nose run. I know that by no means acceptable to blow your nose on a cloth napkin at a restaurant, but I can wipe my nose covertly without making any disgusting noises.
They weren't bragging.
I can do it.
Don't even try to spot me wiping my nose. You're going to miss it. I'm illusion.
Did a ghost just fly across Linda's face?
That's from restaurant runs.
Well, that's a different thing.
Man, this spicy food is giving me the restaurant runs.
Yeah, I mean both. Why can't it be both? What's your alternative? Just let yourself have a leaky mess down your face?
But this used to not be a thing because people used to have, like, handkerchiefs, like, on the ready, like, all the time for this. Can you imagine being that restaurant employee that has cloth napkins and be like, oh, yeah, okay, Snotty McGee on 2, and then we got Snotty Deborah on 6.
In Victorian days, you would have usually wood or ivory nose plug that you would put into your nostrils, and that would help keep that. Sure. Ladies would sometimes decorate theirs with, like, sparrows or leaves and shit.
Yeah.
And they just pop it right, that Bad Mama Jamma in there.
That's how Krayshawn got her look.
That's how Krayshawn's look was born.
Do you guys ever think about old-timey handkerchief days where it was just like a catch-all for all of the plague that you had inside of your nasal cavities? And then when they get home and, like, take that bad boy out of their pocket, how wouldn't you just,
It's also not like they had their laundry game on point or anything, you know what I mean? They weren't throwing OxyClean in there.
They never had off fresh handkerchief.
Did they even have water?
They probably did.
No, water wasn't invented until 1922.
Yeah, everyone was just super fucking thirsty, basically.
No, they had Gatorade.
Just have a handkerchief with you that says, like, my spicy buddy. Just have it embroidered with the words my spicy buddy, and then when you get really to business, everybody will be like, you gotta drop it, you gotta pull them out, because, like, then they'll get excited.
And they'll get excited to see you wipe your nose. And that's a hard needle to thread.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's very distracting. We had several gifts from listeners at the live show.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much. One of the oddest was 8 VHS copies of assorted Eddie Murphy films on VHS. And I was just sitting here noticing that The Nutty Professor, The Nutty Professor 2, they obviously had the same box art. That's fine.
Yeah, V-clumps.
But it's also basically the same as Dr. Doolittle. Basically, it's like they were just saying, hey, this is the same movie. It's just the same thing
again.
Let's
just keep this branding
going. Let's keep this brand going.
Yeah.
What's your family with
that? That Murph train will never stop rolling.
Never stop the Murph train.
I think there's actually 9. I think one might be on the floor. We had some fun with those VHS tapes, I tell you what, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, did we have some fun with those VHS tapes. I made a fort. You want a Yahoo?
Yeah, I guess.
Got a Yahoo. That was sent in by Adam Bash. Thank you, Adam. It's by Yahoo Answers user.
I prefer Adam Franklin.
Okay.
I gotcha. Franklin and Bash goof. Pretty tight. Pretty tight.
I'm Adam Rizzoli, and I'm Adam Isles.
This Yahoo Answers user asks, my boyfriend gave me a 60-count box of waffles for Christmas. He seems so excited about it, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. And then there's a picture of an Eggo Homestyle 60-count waffle box. It's big, man. It's
big. It's name brand. This isn't your off-brand store-brand waffles.
Yeah, this isn't like yum 60 good time waffles.
That's probably a $20 box of waffles.
That you think?
Yeah. 60?
That's a pretty good value. We're talking about $23 waffle meals for $1 each.
I'm trying to think, because I want to say, like, a regular box of Eggos is like, what, $3? $4?
And that only has 4.5 Eggos in it.
Mm-hmm. So now we're talking 60, so let me do some math. Okay, just check, So yeah, you're paying like 6 cents an ounce.
This is a tough gift for somebody who struggles with weight, because you get a box of waffles, right? And you're like, well, I'm going to treat myself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a waffle. But then you think, well, it's time to get my life together. It's time to lose weight. But then you see,
waffles.
I'm not going to be losing any weight till this box is empty. Mm-hmm. The diet starts as soon as I pop my last Eggo.
Let's get it down.
What you do on your deathbed.
Yeah.
Let go. My soul.
I mean, then you got to at least eat it down to a nice round number. You got to say, well, today I'm getting it down to 50.
Right.
But then you eat one too many at 49. You can't stop at 49.
You have to eat the 50th.
It's an ugly number. You got to keep rocking.
I like this present because this present is saying, hey, I'm going to move into your freezer for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to keep this stuff at your place.
I want to keep these waffles at your house. You know, she's not adequately impressed by the fact that that's a tough wrap.
Yeah.
That's a tough wrap. You got to time that.
They're not individual waffles, Justin. They're in a box.
He's thinking about their temperature considerations.
Oh, I see.
Right. I don't know what the paper does for insulation. I don't know.
What's that inside the freezer? Did Santa leave behind a special present?
I hope it's not a head.
Somebody should check in the freezer. What's that puddle underneath the tree? Did the stand? No, that's waffle juice.
Waffles.
No. Frozen waffle juice.
I'm just like wicked bad at presents, I guess.
How does it say how long they've been together?
No.
Because there's a weird bell curve that
they get worse. You're right. The longer they're in the box.
But if you've been together 2 weeks, right, and you get them a 60 count, it's like, okay, great. I wasn't expecting anything. We've been together 2 weeks. If you've been together like 20 years and he gets you like Eggos, it's like, oh, what a fun present because you know how much I love Eggos or this is a fun, ironic joke. But if you've been together like a year and get Eggos, you're done, though. You're done.
And then isn't there also a window where it's like, whoa. Moving a little fast, huh?
Oh, 60? Let's start at 4.5.
I guess you've got a point. If it was 12 waffles, that's fine whenever. 12 waffles, I'll give a person on the street 12 waffles.
Right.
60 waffles. Jesus, that's a commitment to yourself and to waffles.
Yeah, that's like a modern version of giving somebody your apartment key. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, we're always going to have waffles for a while.
What if there's an engagement ring inside one of the waffles? But that you won't know for like 4 months. Because that's how long it's going to take you.
Well, unless you get in the first waffle.
Oh, no, the object's so slim.
Well, you say that, but somebody's got to win, and it might as well be you.
My mother is an older mom. I'm 22, she's 60. And she recently received a new smartphone from my father as a belated birthday gift. This is all fine and dandy. However, some at the AT&T store turning on to this app with all the obnoxious free ringtones from circa 2006.
That's my impression of Crazy Frog.
These gems include a Blake Shelton sound-alike singing Your Hubby is Calling.
Give us a taste of that.
Your hubby is calling. And a woman shouting, Alert, it's your mother-in-law.
Oh,
brothers.
Christ.
Nice.
Brothers. I love my mother dearly, but I can't change another one of her contacts to one of the corresponding tones. Help! That's from Audibly Irate in Austin.
That's my city. I don't want to hear that.
That's polluting your air.
I don't want to be at Whole Foods and hear. Your hubby is calling to die.
Why don't you make a deal with her? That they're all very annoying, so you're going to put them all into one single ringtone that she has to use for everything.
Oh, and then she can only use it when you're calling, because then you'll never be around.
Let's give a sampler of what that would sound like.
Three,
ready?
3, 2, 1.
Your hubby is calling. That would be pretty good. I think that would be a pretty good ringtone.
And if you want to take that and you want to cut that out, make it a WAV file.
Yeah.
Maybe an M4A file. Attach that to all our contacts.
Maybe a GIF.
When we call you, we want that sound.
This is basically Prairie Home fucking campaign. Or wait, don't fucking tell me.
Yeah.
This is sucks, and that person at AT&T store should feel bad. Did they upsell them? Why do you? No, probably didn't upsell them on this shitty ringtone.
No, it's probably another 60-year-old's like, hold up.
You going
to hold on, player. You're going to love this app.
You think about going with that? Boom, 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 boom. No,
no.
Put that away. Put that away. I got something for you. Ring, ring. I'm a phone. Do you like that?
I do.
I got more where that came from.
I do like that.
Hey, check this out.
First taste is free.
Check this out. No, of course, it's not the real Tim Allen.
I like it, though.
We couldn't get the real Tim Allen.
It's close enough for me. I'm not a proud woman.
You got text.
You are really, you really have your finger on my pulse here.
We got Rim Allen.
Sorry?
Rim Allen. Do you know how
is that Tim's nephew?
Do you know how in Zelda there's
Dark Link? I don't know. You've lost me already. I'm a 6-year-old woman.
There's Dark Link.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Rim Allen is.
Rim Allen is Dark Link?
For Tim Allen.
Oh, yeah. Of Tim Allen, there's a metaphor.
Shadow World version.
You got any other ringtones on there? Am I going to have to pay? These are probably like $100, right? I'm probably going to pay $100 for this ringtone app.
$100 a ringtone?
$100 a ringtone.
How many bitcoins does this cost? I hear my grandchildren talk about it.
How much would you expect to pay in bitcoins for this ringtone app?
Oh, Christ. 4 kilobytes.
At least 4 kilobytes. You can delete it and she'll never find it.
She won't find it again.
She'll never find it again.
But then when somebody calls her, it's just going to be like, Read another question. Not a lot of people sent. So I got some great Yahoos this week, but not a lot of people sent in Yahoos. I guess they were celebrating the Christ child.
My desk is located next to both the kitchen and mailboxes at work. I have a young coworker who literally every time she walks past my desk asks in a sing-song voice, "How's it going?" and actually expects an answer. At first, I answered her honestly, but lately I've been getting annoyed and will just say, "Fine, it's going fine." Or, "Oh, you know." Brothers, can you help me come up with some different ways to answer this woman who demands to know how it's going 5 to 8 times a day? And that's from It's Going Freaking Fine in Columbus.
Bless you. We had a genuine my brother and me sneeze on the same.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Can't edit that one over out because we are recording one track. I think this is why people come up with idioms. I think it's why our dad speaks almost exclusively in idioms at this point. He is basically just a ringtone app of idioms at this point because you just want to have fun stuff to say. Like, how's it going? Firing frogs hair split 4 ways. That's what that is. You realize that,
that's
right?
A good jam. Firing frogs hair split 4 ways. And if you want to get a little fancy, if you can nail the execution, split 4 ways and sand it down. Now, that's a harder...
You got to nail the dismount.
You got to nail the dismount.
It's going to be hard to make that frog stand. That stands
the
still
good thing him. About finer than frog's hair is, if you don't know it, and you probably don't, the person's still kind of like chewing on it, and you have plenty of time to push them over and run away.
Yeah. Mm.
You can push them into an open trash can and then run. Because they'll be so confused.
Is it possible she's just been waiting for you to turn it around, and she's not doing so hot? And you don't say, like, well, no, how are you? And then she's just got a break. And she's like, oh, my God. I'm glad you asked. I'm the worst.
So I've been waiting.
I'm the worst.
Is she doing, like, a Joey from Friends? Like, how's it going?
I'm sorry. Once more?
How's it going?
He got worse. Joey's melting.
Joey's melting.
I'm Joey Bajardo.
If you had caught it, if you had asked us in like season one, my brother, me, I probably would have said something funny and like, but this is like nothing. This is a non-issue. Like,
what season are we in now? And when did season one end?
The Candlelight Special is our season one finale. Which, mm-hmm. by the way, thanks for tuning into the thrilling season premiere, season two.
Someone dies. Someone flies. Save the cheerleader. Save the world.
I just feel like this is like. She's asking how's it going, and she just happens to be the other person that's kind of interested in the answer. Like, there's way worse people that you will encounter in work. Like, that's not that bad.
But you have to give it up for the fact that this person got the worst desk, right? It's right next to the shit.
It's a high traffic area.
You don't want that. You want a secret cubbyhole. How else are you going to look at funny videos on E-Bombs World?
Can you just respond like, it's going great, thanks for asking, every time? And like...
And try to wear her down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you have to do it in like a pleasant, like I'm not like, oh, it's fine, thanks for asking. It's like, fine, thanks for asking. Fine, thanks for asking.
Pleasant, but exactly the same.
Yeah. But that is not going to have the desired effect. I feel like if you drop a fire in a frog's hair, split 4 ways, and stand it down, every time she asks you, she is going to stop asking you.
No, because then you're the funny, cute one who uses that, and now it's a thing between the two of you.
No.
Yeah. And you always say, like, oh, how's it going? Fire in a frog's hair, split 4 ways. She's like, that's our thing.
You do that 8 times a day for a year. You're not a cute, funny one. You're a Cyberman.
Oh, can you do it just flat, like no effect?
Flatter than frog's hair,
split 4 ways.
Why don't you look her dead in the eye? And grab her necktie and pull her real close.
Okay. Is this Paula Poundstone?
Grab her necktie. Paula Poundstone? Pull her real close and just get in her ear and say, diarrhea.
Okay.
Every time.
A little added effect there. Justin went beyond the pop filter. Go beyond the pop filter again.
Diarrhea.
Can you tell the difference? There was a little bit of pop there and some diarrhea. You want a Yahoo?
Yeah.
Yahoo was sent in by Drew Davenport. Let's all get really comfortable with each other, okay? Thanks, Drew Davenport. You are a miracle boy. It's asked by Yahoo Answers user.
That Scentsy's finally starting to kick in, huh?
Oh, that's nice. It does not smell like poop in here as much anymore, so thank you for that.
We're recording in the same room that my cat litter box is, and usually I'm very diligent about cleaning up, but you know, it's the holidays. You let things slide.
You wrap them up as presents.
You wrap them up as presents. You feed me your baby.
Amy Sue Harris asks, I know, dry hump advice?
Oof.
I know it sounds stupid, but for a 15-year-old hormone-enraged girl who can't go on the pill and whose boyfriend isn't ready, it's a pretty smart way to pleasure both of us.
This person is 32.
Shh. Pretty new to our relationship, though, and I have some questions. How do I position ourselves so it's like his... That's what it says. Is rubbing right against my... so it's more enjoyable. And is it better as fast and hard? And what's the best way to do it? Usually I wear tights and he wears jeans. Tips? Thank you.
Valerie, clear our schedule. We're doing the rest of the show about how to teach teens on dry humping.
Hold up. Is this legal hot waters? Because this is a 15-year-old.
Okay. No, because it's not a 15-year-old, Griffin. This is not worded how a 15-year-old would ask. When you say things like his ahem and my ahem, this is a 40-year-old woman.
Trying to dry hump a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah, like, hey, I need some tips. Now, that'll sound weird if I say I'm a 40-year-old trying to hump a 15-year-old.
Yeah, try that. Might sound a bit weird.
Oh, I know. I'll say I am also 15.
Here.
Let's just give general dry hump advice into the ether. And then if it hits the 15-year-old, cool.
If they catch it, like, dry humping butterflies.
How long can we give dry hump advice to teens before our wives come in? At least one is like, stop.
Stop it.
Guys. Stop it.
No.
Stop it. Dry scissoring.
Just, like, lead off with that,
that's
Justin?
Good for placement.
You know what I like? A nice side-by-side dry hump where you just rub your legs together like crickets and you get some friction in your jeans.
Yeah, fire hazard, though. You gotta watch out for that.
Oh, yeah. Don't get no sandpaper in there. Ooh,
you're saying it's preheat sparks. The oven by rubbing your zone to get it super friction hot and then you touch it gingerly against it?
No, that's how you build up static electricity and then you poke them in the face and shock them.
Some dudes like that. That's all I'm saying. Some dudes are into that.
One thing is you can put a sandpaper patch on your front of your jeans, mm-hmm. and that can give you some really good traction when you're dry humping.
You know what? What I like is the old sit and spin.
Yeah,
where you both sit on sit and spins and just play with them.
I like the double wrecking ball.
How does that work?
Let me think. You got to be on some sort of swing, some sort of rope. Lever attached to the ceiling, and then the two of you just sort of go like this, and you just sort of swing into each other over and over again, like,
that's pretty good.
You just smash it together. How about the mortar and pestle? And that's where you dry hump, but you put some barley down there, and you grind it up when you're done. And when you're done, you have ground up barley.
I like the kind of dry humping where you dry hump so hard that I guess some stuff just got through, or at least that's what I told my gynecologist.
Wow.
What a cool
sentence. Going on there. I think that one of my the weirdest things about dry humping is I feel like it's
what are the weirdest things about dry humping? No, there's a sentence I want to hear my middle brother say. Hit me.
I'm just thinking about like that there must be like kind of that age of, you know, innocence, because there has to be a point where like you suddenly go, what are we doing?
Like, this is too dry.
What this is dumb. And it's like I doubt very much that there are like 40-year-old people being like, hey, let's just dry hump tonight. Like, it's because then you're just looking going, what are we...
Hey, I got an idea to spice
things up.
What
are we doing?
Let's reduce the moisture.
Let's just... What are we doing? And so it's almost like this very innocent, but also very weird thing.
You know how much it would please me if Dave...
To dry hump?
Just right now for
probably
once.
Probably not.
To just feel young again.
Probably not, like, a lot.
Just, like, do you think people ever dry hump for the novelty of feeling young again?
Yeah.
Just, like, the same way you'd, like, go to see a Backstreet Boys reunion tour.
And dry hump
and
them.
dry hump all the Backstreet Boys in sequence.
Just to feel you. Wait, in what sequence?
What?
What's the proper sequence?
Yeah, I will unlock
the Pharaoh's tomb.
Okay, it's JC,
uh-huh.
Tori,
uh-huh.
Jody,
okay.
December,
uh-huh.
Big Ralph.
Okay, if you do it in that order.
Was one of them called December?
Yeah, December was one of them. Tori, Jody, December, Big Ralph.
Chazes.
And Chazes.
You gotta go brothers. Back. You sweep back around. That's the secret. That's why nobody's popped up in the tomb and why Justin's going to be a very rich man very soon. Very rich with locusts. You gotta swoop back around and get JC again.
So can you imagine the last...
By that point, you will have worn holes in your jeans.
Oh, right. Sure. The last 5 minutes of our show being transcribed, and Dave Barry just hands it to his editor. Like, this is my new book.
It is.
Weird Stuff About Dry Humping by Dave Barry. I'm not sure, Dave. I don't think you've got
with
a hit.
A forward by JC Chazes.
Please leave me alone.
Please.
I don't know where the treasure is. I don't know how many times I have to tell you.
Please stop dry humping.
I haven't dry humped in months. Stop talking about me.
Keep my name out your mouth when you're talking about dry humping. What are some other great things to say about dry humping out loud?
It's better than impact humping.
Is dry humping, is that a gateway, do you think?
You go from dry humping to like arid humping.
Yeah, you got to make sure it's the gateway in the right direction.
Yeah.
Dehydrated humping. And then you have to get your electrolytes. Yeah. You can't be.
Oh my God.
Oh. It's so easy.
Don't try to dry hump without talcum powder on hand.
Something.
Should we give them money to?
I feel like we're already there.
This week, talcum powder. Put it down there. You have to.
Guys, we have a return of a classic sponsor, and this is one that I'm real big into. 1 month. Here's a fact.
Yacht's Brown. Have we made that joke yet?
No. Finish it.
Yacht's Brown. Yum, yum, it's a fucking damn. Scores are barren, guys. Get here.
If you want
a chicken.
If you want to code a website that demands the death of Griffin McElroy for the last 15 seconds
chicken
of audio.
Chicken, you cannot kill me. I open the Pharaoh's tomb and the invincible. Watching Mugs Files with the lights on. That lyric.
Coding. Coding was the most in-demand job skill of 2014. As one of them. As
Peanut Brittle will be 2015. You heard it here first, I'm guessing.
Here's my thing to you, okay? Your 2014 was a little rough. Fine.
Are you talking to everyone? Because it was pretty much rough for everyone.
Yeah, but you know how we're going to fix it? We're all going to learn how to code. We're going to code our way right out of here. This is in 2015, you're going to learn how to code with 1 month Rails. Imagine you could build your website overnight. Imagine that your resume could stand out when you're applying for a job.
So now I'm imagining.
1 month Rails is the easiest way to learn how to code. You can learn Ruby on Rails, HTML, CSS, Git. I don't know what Git is.
Git.
You can learn all that stuff.
That's what you say to all the bugs in your code. Git.
I have done a 1 month course on HTML. Mm-hmm. I knew a little bit beforehand, but it was a really good, I mean, not just a refresher, because HTML has changed so much since I made the web page, the GeoCities web page for my band Aviso in the mid-90s.
Jesus, it's changed since then, you say.
So is your band Aviso.
Yeah, our sound has very much evolved in that we have been dormant for 15 years. But
by the way, Justin is Panda Bear.
All right. It is a really super easy way. They break it down to where it's like a half hour every day, 30 minutes. You dip in, you do the lesson for that day. The biggest problem I had was honestly stopping, because sometimes I wanted to do another lesson because they're a lot of fun. They've got other classes too. 1 month iOS to help you build an iPhone app. Whoa, I want to do that one. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
1 month growth hacking. That's to like GBH, and there's 1 month HTML. I took the class, like I said, it's great. 30 minutes for 30 days, and then you will have this new skill. I'm totally gonna do that app one. That sounds great.
Yeah, do an app.
I'm gonna make an app, because that's what the world needs, is more apps.
And how do they do it?
You go to 1month.com/mybrother. Now, typically your enrollment is going to be $99, but if you join now, you're going to get a one-time discount of 25% off.
Which I think is going to be like $24.96.
1 month is the service. Again, that address is 1month.com/mybrother. You are really going to like 1 month a lot. Let's turn around 2015. You've earned it.
Here's a call to action. Assemble and check out /cg.com. Ship just got real. I guess that's the tagline for it.
I think it's short for like friendship.
Or relationship.
Oh, okay.
Games by Playdate is excited to release The Blanks, a customizable expansion for the hit party game /romance without boundaries. Put yourself, your friends, and... oh, God. It's Kush. put yourself, your friends, and your frenemies in a one true pairing with your favorite pop culture figures. Why not add Orb, Glass Shark, Tiny Amelie, or Edward Snowden to your evening of improv /fic? I don't know who any of those things are or what they're referring to. Mabimbam won't care that you've got them making pretend romance to She-Ra or Rasputin, probably.
Well,
true love can't be stopped by time, space, logic, or literary canon. Hey, fuck the shit out of Rasputin. I don't give a damn.
Games by Playdate, they're great. They've been big supporters of our show, and we're huge fans of theirs.
They sent me a couple games and everything just out of the goodness of their heart. There's a Shakespeare game that they sent me that I cannot wait to play.
They made a Sawbones game.
Mm-hmm. They made what? 13 Dead End Drive. They made that board game.
And then sent it back in time.
Kerplunk.
By the way, guys, I have 13 Dead End Drive. You want to play some fucking 13 Dead End Drive?
No, the show now. No copy of 13 Dead End Drive has ever worked once. That game is busted.
It's a combination of Clue and Mousetrap. Enjoy!
And broken shit.
So, check out /CG.com. Ship just got real.
Just got another message for Toby, and it's from Zach Sasha.
Another message for Toby.
Yep, he just keeps getting them.
We've probably done a Toby message at some point. It's from Toby. Zach, Sasha, and Jake, who say, Dear Toby slash Dink Joe slash Swade.
Swade.
Shade. Shade. Congratulations on being born 27 goat years ago. You read so many books, know so many things, and frown so much. We, not Zach, adore your curls, your feminine cardigans, and your obnoxious shoes. I said tees, but your tees are probably fucked up, too. Your bi-weekly grumpy visits almost make up for you moving out, and we're all proud of your literary success and smoke-free lungs. Love.
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 Love. Sorry about your curls.
Toby, it sounds like you're getting your life together vis-a-vis smoking. I do wish you would smile. Turn that frown upside down.
Turn that frown upside down. You don't have to worry about nicotine stains anymore. Let's get that smile going. Hey, baby girl.
Hey. Show me that smile.
Show me that. No, it's right here. Okay. Show me that smile.
Show me
that
smile.
Let me try. No, it's up right here. Show me that smile again.
Show me that smile.
Don't waste another minute on your crying. We know we're near the end. The best is ready to begin. Ooh, as long as we got each other, we are the world spinning right in our hands, baby. You and me. We gotta be.
This part's gonna be hard.
The luckiest dreamers who never quit dreaming.
That we just made that up.
Excuse me, boys. I'm Alan Thicke, and all of you are going to prison for a long time. I'm Canada's Alan Thicke.
Please don't remind anyone I'm related to Thicke.
Oh my God, it's my daughter.
Hi, Charlie
Gale. Hey, Charlie Gale.
In her third costume of the day.
Wow,
you
already?
You just keep on pooping and spitting. Pooping and spitting. And pooping and spitting.
Yeah, pooped right through it.
Pooped right through it.
Pooped right through it. Just like we're doing to this show.
Welcome to Bim Bam. We pooped right through our clothes.
Welcome to Bim Bam. Our let's just get 45 minutes of audio containing anything ever.
Did we just sing the Growing Pains theme song?
I don't know. I blacked out.
That ain't a good 90 seconds. That was great.
Hey, everyone. We're the Flophouse, one of the newest additions to the Maximum Fun podcasting network. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. What is the Flophouse, you may very well ask?
We watch a bad movie, and then we talk about it.
A bad movie podcast? Isn't that like every fifth podcast on the internet?
I'd answer that by saying, one, we've been doing this show for over 7 years, long before the entire premise of our show was a cliche, and two, shut up.
Sick burn.
I'd say that our show is more of a comedy podcast. A podcast about words that sound like other words. A podcast about me singing long, irritating songs like this one. A podcast about pitches for a Ziggy comic book movie. Or discussions about sex tarps.
Yeah, I mean, mostly it's a show about three friends just hanging out. And talking about ding-dongs.
That's mostly used to.
Wait, what?
So if you like any of those things, subscribe in iTunes today or visit MaximumFun.org to follow the show.
The Flophouse.
Woo! I work for a small company. My only everyday coworker is my boss's daughter. I don't know. It doesn't...
Starring Ashton Kutcher.
We recently moved into a small office, roughly 10 by 15, and whatever perfume, body spray, or whatever is just overwhelming. To make it worse, she's a germaphobe and applies similarly scented hand sanitizer at least every hour. I'm sitting next to her right now, and I have such a headache because of the smell. To be clear, the scent itself is not unpleasant, but it's the perfume volume to space ratio that's causing the problem. I've made subtle, general remarks. She's obviously not picking up on those. What's the best way to approach this situation? Do I confront her about it, or do I find a way to make my experience less miserable? That's from Stunk Out in St. Louis.
You gotta overstinker.
You have to outstink the stinker.
You gotta do it. You gotta fight those waves of force with a few of your own.
And what? How?
Go negative?
Well, you take the campaign negative.
Anti-smell.
Yeah, well, because here's the thing. She's already a fan of, like, the positive smells. You know, she's doing the scents. She's doing the perfumes. You gotta go negative. You gotta take the campaign negative.
Are you talking about stinky bad smells, or are you talking about negative smell? Things that possess no smell and destroy.
Some activated carbon in the air.
Yeah.
Something. Or maybe just go, like, steaks, like a hearty, like a like
steak
a,
salad?
Yeah, like you get like a steak, you know, you get like a more of a savory smell to, right. to combat the sweet.
Get a steak candle.
Uh-huh.
And replace the pretty stink with a right angry stink.
Yeah.
Listen, you could do one thing. I've seen commercials for like Febreze air spray, and the commercials, he just like grabs the smell out of the air and tackles it and brings it down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could try that, because scientifically that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
The Febreze grabs the stink.
It makes a bubble around the stink and then brings it down.
And now you're in the carpet.
Now it's like no air. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. No air? You know.
The Febreze no air. Don't spray too much in an enclosed space.
Because it'll depressurize and it'll be sucked out of the chamber.
Can you put a giant air purifier on your desk and then when she looks, just give her like a facial expression like, yeah.
Pee you. Did you say you have an allergy? That's like a thing.
Oh, an allergy. That's good.
So good. Do you know what I just thought of?
Is it better than an allergy? Because you...
It's a different avenue.
Okay.
Tell her that you read on the internet that all of these hand-scented lotions and perfumes contain this germ that in like 10% of people is causing some kind of skin infection or skin irritation.
Oh, so that her comeuppance for her germophobia is that you're going to force her to lean into her germophobia.
Okay, so you give me that and I'll
you
be
you want to gaslight this poor woman.
I'll be stinky coworker. You give me that and let's just see how it goes.
Okay.
Can I get some coffee while you guys are doing this little play?
No,
perfect.
Can't.
You got to be here as the boss.
You got to be here.
You have to be this woman's father.
You're the Drew Carey.
Okay.
Listen, you two have a good day working. I'll be getting a few rounds of golfing.
What you can't see here is in this fiction, half of the boss's mouth is sewn shut, apparently.
Yeah, we work for Harvey Dent.
It was a golf accident. Have a good work day, kitten. Don't let this man take away your good smells.
Okay, so the...
he says that as he leaves.
Remember what Mommy said about a good, clean girl smells like roses and flowers and sand and breeze.
We asked you to be the Drew Carey. You're kind of being the Colin Mochrie right now. Okay. Give me the pitch.
Oh, hey, I think it was on Facebook, maybe, or like BuzzFeed.
Still in the door frame.
They found that, like...
I'm watching this from the doorframe. You better nail it.
0.1% of people have, like, an allergic reaction. It's something to do with, like, this drug or, like, a germ or something they found in these hand lotions.
Okay, hold on just one second. I just Googled it. You're lying.
If you're going to be this bossy, my daughter, you better have a ring in your pocket.
Wait, hold on. What?
You better be proposing marriage if you would dare take away her good smell. She's Daddy's little flower girl.
How about a Yahoo?
You're a Yahoo out of this office.
Did I just get fired?
Yeah, you both did. Sorry, kitten.
He's too deep in the fiction.
You should have known not to get embroiled with a man like this.
We're going to have to chloroform.
Tell you how to live your smell.
Somebody flip the factory reset on Justin.
Don't let any man steal
Somebody
your smell.
Somebody hold Justin's power button for 5 seconds until the LED.
You're
breaks.
A strong She-Ra. Don't let any man steal your smell.
Okay, Travis, I think you need to take the fuse out of the power box. Okay,
Yahoo.
Here we go. So sent by Mark Del Resnick and a few other people. Thank you. It's by Yahoo Answers user Samantha, who asks, I'm throwing a sexy Santa party. Every year, my boyfriend and I throw some sort of Christmas party. Last year, we did a kind of dress-up dinner party, but we were thinking of doing a sexy Santa party this year and having everyone wear their sexiest PJs. Why Santa, then? Any ideas of other things we can do to make the party sexy? Oh, we are in our early 20s.
Fucking of course
you
are. Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah, no kidding. In case that helps.
I can pinpoint your birth month from this question.
Sexy Santa party. Santa's already sexy.
He's a man who is very giving and responsible and takes care of, like, yeah. Here's my question. How do you propose this to your friend in a way that all of your friends, in a way that they don't go, do you want to see my bits?
Do you want to see my, like, dick?
Is that what's up? Like, how do you say, like, I thought a really fun party would be, like, we all wear see-through clothes and stuff. Haha, get it?
BYOB. But the last B stands for bush, because I want to see it. I want to see it. Want to see that bush.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Show me your Christmas bush.
Show me your Christmas bush and bring a covered dish.
But you know what? Here, I was just thinking that I remember some parties, like in college, that are like the anything but clothes parties, or like that idea of like, it was a thing where like you, people, you, when you're young, I almost remember people used to dress sexy to go to things on purpose. Is that a thing? Did that happen, or am I dreaming
it? It's like a Eyes Wide Shut invitation orgy. You can't send something out saying, "Hey, come on, give up." It's got to be veiled. It's got to be thickly veiled. They have to be like, "Is this going to be an orgy or is it not?" You can't be like, "Come on and bring your bush." You can't do that. You can't put that on an invitation. You can't do it. I won't let you do it.
You can't let somebody just bring their own bush.
No, this sucks.
Bush optional.
Why is it sexy Santa if they're wearing PJs?
You're waiting for Santa, sexily.
Oh, then they call it Santa Baby. Now, that could be misleading. People could show up as giant Santa Babies.
Do you think Santa actually still comes down the chimney of, like, five houses a year, and he picks it based on this very specific criteria? Like, uh-oh, bush party.
Gotta get down.
You know, Biloxi on the list.
If he doesn't, I think we've proved that he doesn't exist, because, like, those would be the parties that I'd stop at.
Come down the chimney, like, bush, cool. Y'all been naughty! And then he vanishes.
If you want you and all your young, attractive friends to be basically naked together, don't drag Santa into this.
That's what I'm saying. This is all pretense to Santa, to like Christmas time follies.
I want to think that this is like their 6th year hosting this party, and they've put up with boring ass themes for 5 years, just building up like the equity to be able to get all their friends naked.
I would worry about, if you call it a sexy Santa party, you're going to have people show up with like just ripped red overalls, like to show their muscles coming through, and like not a beard so much as like a, you know, stubble, like white stubble, and just shredded.
Wait, why is that a worry? Hold on. You're worried about throwing a sexy clothes party is that people show up as sexy
Justin's
clothes.
Justin's drooling right now. Are you just painting erotic fiction for our listeners right now?
About Santa?
That's ASMR right there.
No, it wasn't.
It was ASMR, right? Basically.
No.
Have you guys noticed the more we talk about ASMR, the more defensive people get about ASMR?
And the more demand that there is for it.
For it, yeah. It's upsetting.
Y'all welcome.
Y'all welcome.
You're throwing stones at a glass house right now, because that's like your jam and you can't.
I don't get militant about it, though.
Okay. Well, are you sad now?
This Christmas, I received the same gifts from my parents and my boyfriend's parents after they shopped from my Amazon wish list. I don't want to upset either of them by returning the gifts they chose, but I also don't need two pairs of the same shoes. Should I let one of them know I'm returning their gift, or should I keep it on the down low and thank them each for the gifts for returning one of the duplicates? That's from ruining our returns. Do you fucking need our... Like, did you come all the way down to our office for this?
Could I get free money, or should I just put things in garbage can? What are you saying?
What are you talking about?
I will say...
How did you get past our secretary?
Let me say... congratulations on opening that second present and pulling it off. Because that's a challenge every year. You open that second present and you have that split second rushes through your brain like, oh, I got this. What do I say? Oh, my God, this is so... I know I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then you pull out of that nosedive and you're like, oh, my God, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's great. It's exactly what I wanted. 2, I say you keep it. What? You got a backup. My greatest fear at any point in my life is that one of my wonderful material possessions will be ruined.
Someone will take one of your many belongings.
And so knowing that I've got a backup material possession will put me at ease.
And just the having of
having things is so great. You've got one whole thing just to do whatever you want with. It was about packages. It was about tags.
Grinch brings their shit back, and it's like, we already bought new shits, and now we've got two of the shits. It's a Christmas miracle. And this has been Travis's Grinch.
We've got so many who bangers. That's one of the things I've
Yo, got. What's up, party people? I got another hoo banger coming at you. Get on the floor.
Now pass that hoo hash. Let's give one up.
Put your titties on the roast beast. Put your titties on the roast beast?
You said that with your mouth.
Don't put your titties on the roast beast. That's not where they go.
We done?
We done.
We done. Listen, this has been my brother, me, an advice show for the modern era. We hope you had a lot of fun listening. Kind of a truncated one, but you know, it's the holidays and you should just count yourself lucky to get anything.
Well,
at
don't
all.
Say that.
Handle it.
Travis and Teresa are late for a Christmas appointment. We're trying to get them out the dough.
Thank you for hanging in there with us. We appreciate you listening to the program and laughing along with us and learning and growing. We hope you had a great holiday season. We thank you to people who, by the way, bought tickets to see us in LA. That show is sold out, from Correct. What I understand. Believe there are still some tickets to see us with JJ Go in San Francisco. So you can buy those. Trav, do you remember the bit.ly you
it's
created?
It's bit.ly/MBMBAMSketchfest.
Okay. So you can find those tickets and buy those if you want to see us in San Francisco. And we'll be announcing new live shows probably within a month or so. Some folks who came to our live show in Huntington had actually traveled from areas that they... that we will be in shortly. So that was kind of awkward.
Maybe Switzerland.
Yeah, maybe Switzerland. Who knows? So keep an eye out for that. You know, if you're not a big social media person or whatever, just follow us, just us, and we'll
tweet information out
tweet
that people
information
can consume
out that you can consume
want.
And use however you want.
Okay.
Griffin, do you have any thank yous?
Yeah, I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. You can find that wherever fine music is sold. Saw a few people tweet pictures of them getting the vinyl for Christmas, which is very, very exciting. I also own that vinyl, and boy, is it waxy.
I also want to say, podcast that I do with my friend Andy Bolt, Bunker Buddies, the comedy... Comedy Survival Podcast. We're doing a live show with Jordan Jesse Go at UCB Franklin in Los Angeles on January 6th. It's at 11 p.m. and tickets are only $5. If you go to bit.ly/LA Bunker Buddies, you can get tickets there. So we hope you come out and see us. It's our first live show and we're really excited.
Also, listen to other podcasts on the Max Fun Network. Jordan Jesse Go, Stop Podcasting Yourself, Throwing Shade, The Goose Down, Song Exploder, Risk. There's all kinds of free entertainment. Let's not forget about Sawbones. And The Adventure Zone, our new Dungeons & Dragons podcast that we do with our dad. There's a new episode going up this Thursday that I'm very excited about. All three of you guys actually do some really dope shit in this episode.
This was the episode that marks the point where we forgot we were doing a comedy silly game, and all three got really into it.
It gets pretty silly. You guys forget some of the antics we got up to, but there's also some dope adventure shit in there. Anyway, that's this Thursday. Tune in. We're only like three episodes deep, so you still have time to get on board. It's really fun. Seeing a lot of people say they've never played D&D before, listen to it. It's got a lot of crossover appeal.
And if you decide to play D&D as a result, please tell Wizards of the Coast so they'll send us some money.
Yeah, I guess. Or at least some campaign books.
Or some campaign books or just merch.
You got a noisy baby in there. I hope that we're not picking up the baby's box.
Baby's singing.
Yeah, baby just spreading the word. That's going to do
it
for us.
She's the young Ellen Thick.
Thank you so much for listening to the program. We hope you've had fun and we're going to miss you. We hope you have a great... this is the last time.
Oh, 20. We got to figure it out.
This is the last time we're going to talk to you in 2013. Or no, 20.
Oh my God, what was our shit?
What was 2014?
Oh no.
What was it?
I mean, whatever it was, we didn't fulfill it.
Let's be honest
this
and
year
just
was
say it was
2014. 20 forward.
20 forward.
20 vorteen.
It was 2014, though, if we're being honest.
I watched a boar video that somebody made of a big fox lady swallowing him up, and it was spliced in with, brace yourselves, colonoscopy videos, or perhaps an endoscopy.
Daddy did not like.
Suddenly, the subject of war became much less funny overnight.
Just like that. So we have votes from listeners, not that they get to vote.
For 2015?
What we're hearing right now, here are the teen choices In the order.
Teen Choice Awards.
Jim Carrey again wins.
From the bottom
best
up.
Best Kiss.
2015.
What's that mean?
Seriously, does anybody else smell that? 2015. 2015.
Okay.
2015. Okay. 2015. 2015. Never stop getting it. 2015. Raise Someone's Spirits. 20 What If Teen. Imagine the possibilities. 20 Gift Teen. Share the Wealth. 20 Spliff Teen.
Oh my God, I forgot about 20 Spliff Teen. I'm going to 420 so hard.
20 Thrift Teen.
Okay.
And the number one, and what I think should be the official.
Griff Teen.
20 Griff Teen. The con is on. 20 Griff Teen. The con is on all year long.
So wait, we need to fucking get out the blueprints right now and start planning this heist.
This is the con is on next year in 20 Griff Teen. So we hope to see you there. Thank you for being with us through 20 forward/2014. And
sorry we didn't do it.
Sorry that we didn't.
I don't know. I feel like we moved forward significantly.
Moved the ball. We moved the change. Griffin, one last Yahoo.
I swallowed lots of men.
So it's a tie, really. It's a toss-up. Griffin.
This final Yahoo was sent in by, how appropriate, Drew Davenport. The beginning and the end. Thank you, Drew Davenport. It's by Yahoo Answers user Ross, who asks, oh, I navigated away from the page. Ross asks, how hard can you twerk without dying?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
My brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hello, I'm Taku, the Elven Magician.
Merle High Church here, the master of clerical magic.
I'm Magnus Burnsides, the fighter.
Did you guys like that? Did you, the listener, like that? You were just swept up in a world of high fantasy and magic where anything can happen and anything is possible. Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy, Dungeon Master for The Adventure Zone, a new podcast on Maximum Fun, in which magic and mystery intertwine for a very erotically charged role-playing experience. You can catch it every other Thursday here on MaximumFun.org or iTunes. It's for Dungeons & Dragons, but with family.